Hello and welcome, dear listeners. I hope you're having a wonderful day. My name is Noor Banu Hijazi. I am a proud VCU School of the Arts in Qatar graduate. And today I have the honor of being the host of today's audio interview, as well as talking to our amazing guests, which I will be introducing to you in a bit. This audio interview is a retrospect on the design conference, Tasmim, that takes place at VCUQ every 2 years. So sit back and relax as we go through a nice stroll through memory lane. Tasmim Doha 2015, Ajib. Ajib means strange in a strange way, cool in a cool way, and slightly weird in a slightly weird way. Unfortunately, I couldn't attend the festival at the time because I was in the UAE completing my undergraduate degree. However, when I joined the MFA in design program at VCU Arts Qatar the following year, there were talks about the next Tasmim in 2017. My classmate Hazem Asif, who did his BFA in graphic design at VCU Arts Qatar, shout out to you, Hazem, if you're hearing this, he explained to me what Tasmim was and his experience attending Ajib. Hazem mentioned the colorful lifeguard structures in the Saffron Hall, the shawarmas, the cool workshops, and so much more amazing things that happened during the event. This hyped me up to look forward to attending the next Tasmim. Our guests today are the co-chairs of this edition in order of speaking. Levi Hammett, teaching at the Graphic Design Department at VCU Arts Qatar. Simone Mascalino, director of the Art Foundation at VCU Arts Qatar. Also teaching at the Graphic Design Department is Michael Hersard. And last but not least, joining us live from Brooklyn is Richard Lombard, who established the Materials Library at VCU Arts Qatar.
Gentlemen, welcome, and thank you all so much for being here today. So allow me to ask the first question. Looking back at the conference overall, how do you feel about it now?
Okay. I mean, for one, thank you for having me, having us. Looking back at the conference, I mean, I'm incredibly proud of what we accomplished, I think, with that conference. We had a lot of ideas and goals going in about how we wanted to maybe evolve the conference a little bit. That was one of what we tried to contribute, was evolving the conference toward a little more of a festival-like atmosphere. We really wanted to have it be a big design party over the course of a week, in a way. And that philosophy, I think, guided a lot of who we brought, what kind of, how we thought about activities in the conference. So that's what I'm proud of looking back. I think we set out to do that, and I think we did. And I think it left a mark on the people who came, the artists who came, and I think also us and how we work and how we collaborate.
Yeah, I mean, if we continue in this way, I still think about Tasmim like probably the best thing I've done personally here at school, or the event or the project that left the most important mark and the best memories and satisfaction in these 10, almost 11 years that I spent here. And we knew each other pretty well already. We had some collaborations. We were friends, I could say, already. But that was for sure the biggest collaboration that we have done together. Is a 2 years commitment. Is a lot of work. A lot of problems that need to be solved, and I remember a very natural flow between the four of us, and really taking care of tasks in a very natural way without assigning things to each other or having complicated discussions. So that's what one of the strongest memories, how easy it was to solve complex problems during the process. And this huge opportunity of creating a new school inside the school for 1 week, because it was an edition that still had a very generous budget, so we could really involve a lot of people. And how many workshops did we organize? 20 more?
Yeah, I think 26.
26.
26 different workshops. Was like creating a new school, you know, bringing people from all over the world to interact with our students. So, yes, it was different from the previous one, as Levi said, but at the same time, it was really taking the best of the previous two or three editions and try to develop them in a new way, and I think we succeed on that, and people still have a good memory of that week.
Yeah, I guess maybe to pick up on that really quickly is, I think I feel nostalgic looking back at like photos. It was like a really good time. I think similar to Simone, it was what he said. It was one of my best times at VCU. I think I was still like new enough because I'd only been here for like 5 years or so, but it was like new enough that it was really exciting. But yet, you know, I had enough awareness to know about the community and how things worked. So it really kind of brought new life, I think, to the university, which was really cool. The students are pretty excited. I also think connecting with the international audience, we really put ourselves out there in inviting a bunch of guests from around the world, even people that we did not know so well, and just trying to see if they wanted to come to Doha and work with us. And for me, it's been very unexpected about how this has had a ripple effect, because some of our students have gone after Tasmim, have gone to work in some of those studios or with some of those artists. And I think we all stay in contact with many of them, and, you know, through social media and things like this. And so it's a weird, almost like a weird community. You know, we were in Japan a couple of years ago, and we went out to dinner with some of the Japanese artists that had come to Tasmim. And I've been to in Europe a few different times, and have someone from that conference has found out that I'm traveling and wanted to meet for lunch. And so I think these like new relationships have been really wonderful to kind of bring light to the VCU community.
Yeah, I guess I would say from this side of the Atlantic, it travels pretty well, the whole thing. And to go back to the premise of the podcast, it was about engagement, and it was about getting people involved and getting the students involved, and having something that didn't kind of come and sit on the school for a couple of days, but lived with this school and really kind of touched people and got them excited. And I think that in many ways, the fact that, you know, here we are, you know, 5 years more on, and, you know, people talk about it, it worked, you know, it did touch people in that way, that it connected. And yeah, and I, here in Brooklyn, we've got Reed and Raider, who are just down the hill from me. I still do work with Craig Calfee out in California. Sue Gwen passes through New York on occasion. So, you know, it's still, you know, a very connected part of my life over here. So, and I echo what everybody else said, that, you know, on a personal level, it was something that, it's sort of funny to say that I'm proud of it, because I just had so much fun doing it. Mm-hmm. The pride kind of takes a backseat to the fact that I just, on a purely selfish level, enjoyed it so much that it almost didn't feel like you know, oh, I should be sitting back and taking pride in it. It was just, it was such a great time.
So this is great because it goes into my second question, which I wanted to ask you all, which is, what convinced you to take on the challenge of becoming co-chairs for Tasmim?
Mm-hmm. That is a good question, because we were all a little crazy, maybe, and didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. That is a very good question. I think for me personally, I mean, I really liked challenges, and I wanted to try something new. I enjoy teaching, and I thought that this was sort of, for me, like teaching on a much larger scale. Like, how can I work with other artists and designers? How can I create these collaborations? And I was really interested in kind of the event itself. Like, how can we create a new process or a new way of working that goes beyond maybe normal education parameters? Mm-hmm. And so I think that is what kind of drove me to want to do this. And then I also think working with these three, because honestly, I've worked on a lot of collaborations, and a lot of times they don't go as expected. And I thought that this was so, so great. Like, even from the very beginning, I felt like I had confidence. So sometimes when I begin a project, I lack confidence because I don't know where it's going to go. But I, like Simone was saying earlier, I had full trust in everyone, and that if someone wanted to take on a task or pick up the pieces that someone else could not do, it just kind of happened. And so I think it's easier to take that type of risk when you know you have like a really good support team behind you.
Yeah, for me, something similar. I have to say that the main reason were for sure having the opportunities of involving a lot of interesting people from all over the world and bringing them here and organizing something that in which you have a little bit more say than usual. You know, I mean, you have an idea, you share a vision with your group and whoever in the school give you this opportunity, and that's kind of something unique, you know, to have this kind of opportunity of working with your network, the network of people you like, and have this huge design party, as Levi said, in which we exposed our school to an international audience. We expose the international audience to our school. And to do that, which is kind of a big deal, the fact that we were working, that I was working with them, gave me a lot of confidence, because we knew already each other pretty well, to know that we could trust each other, and that we have also some kind of different skills, hard skills, social skills, and we knew that we were really covering all the broad spectrum of necessities that a big project like this requires. Mm-hmm. So we, frankly, I didn't think too much before jumping on it. There was the call for proposal. I said, should we do it? Let's do it. Yeah. And we did it. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with what's been said. I mean, like Simone, I think I didn't think about it too much. The thing that attracted me to it was the energy. I think even in our first conversations, mm-hmm. It just seemed like, hey, you know, here's an idea. Like, okay, oh, that's exciting. You know, okay, we can try these things. And yeah, so for me, it was more this creative kind of energy. Like, I want to see what happens. I want to see what happens if we make a bunch of workshops that bring faculty, working with students, working with people from the community. Like, let's break down the barriers and let's see what happens. And for me, it was just an opportunity to apply my
passion for design experimentation to an event, or in some ways an event, but also this kind of curriculum design teaching space where we could just test out these ideas. And yeah, I kind of jumped in and didn't worry too much about it until later, and then I worried a lot. but yeah, like Michael said, I think it was a really strong team, and you know, the things that I wasn't confident about in myself, I could rely on Simone or Richard or Michael to kind of handle these mm-hmm. things. And yeah, it went very smoothly in the end. And I think, you know, again, going back to what I feel proud about, I mean, I feel proud that I felt like at times it was a lot of, you know, there was a lot to be done, but it never totally felt like work. You know, there was this thread of kind of excitement the whole time. And yeah, that's what kept me going through it. And yeah.
It was interesting when I first got to Doha, and I forget how it came about, but in the 2011 iteration of Tasmim, I forget who it was who said, you should be involved in this. And I was like, all right. And so, you know, literally from the get-go, Tasmim was sort of a thing for me. And I remember, like, and as Simone said, there's this this sense of opportunity, and it especially coming, you know, from the States, you know, where budgets are all like scrabbled together and super limited, and here was this incredible opportunity. And to see, you know, first, you know, Synapse in 2011, and then hybrid making in 13, and each one sort of building on the other, but at the same time to feel like what a crazy and amazing opportunity to do something more, and to really kind of build on the successes of the past events, and it was always that just incredible sense of like, what if, like, what if we did this, what if we did that. And yes, and I feel, you know, very grateful to have had the opportunity to find out what if. It did, I think that the fact that we are, you know, very similar in many ways, but also very different in many ways, there were very few gaps, and there wasn't anything that nobody wanted to do, and so it flowed so seamlessly. It didn't seem like a lot of work. And I think that also the novelty of having four chairs, that idea of like distributing things, it just worked really well.
Moving on, I would like to ask that, what do you hope the audience got from this conference, from Tasmim 2015 Ajib?
Yeah, I think, you know, if I'm remembering correctly, one of the words that really got us started was this, the word play. Mm-hmm. And I think that was probably the title of our proposal. Yeah. at the time. And yeah, I feel like that idea of like, okay, how can we explore this idea of play as designers, as creative people, right? What does it mean for creative people to play? What is the role of play in art and design? And I think we held that thread the entire time, and I would bring it back in the end, and hope that that's one of the things people got from it, you know, not just play in a fun way, but let's, you know, maybe showing designers and artists, students, academics, but also people from the community, people who maybe aren't so familiar with art and design, showing them how playfulness and creativity can have a meaningful impact on our lives. You know, how important it is to be playful, to have fun, right? That it's important as a human being. It's important just to have fun in life, but also in a creative practice. As a designer who goes out and solves problems, sometimes you need to have a playfulness and a fun energy in the things you do. So I would hope people saw that from the artists that we brought, from the activities we did, that they could see that there's a role for playfulness in the world, in education, in society. Let's not be so serious all the time. Yeah, let's have fun.
Yeah, I agree a lot with what Levi is saying, and I like the word that you used, like this kind of absurdity, which also kind of played into this idea of playfulness and wanting to get people to think a little bit different and loosen up a little bit. And I think as designers and artists, we are often tasked with solving problems that end up becoming that are more serious. And I think that you don't always need to take a serious approach to solve serious problems. And there's a lot of value to look at the absurd, look at the playfulness, and use that as a way to generate new ideas to problems, or just for entertaining and just wanting to do something unique. And this was really an approach that I think we looked at quite a bit is how do we build this in to that model so that people don't go down the same paths that they usually take, but can branch out in different ways. And I think added to that is just this idea that this immediacy. And I think that's one of the things we wanted to maybe come out of the workshops, is that normally when you have a design conference, it feels like people arrive at that conference with completed ideas, and then they deliver those ideas in some sort of format, you know, whether it's an exhibition or delivering a paper or these kind of things. And we really wanted this conference to be about the moment, to be very immediate. And kind of embrace this idea that, you know, if we put these group of people together that normally never work together, in 5 days, you're gonna come up with something. There will be some sort of outcome, and we don't know what that is yet. Mm-hmm. But that kind of that ability to embrace that situation and create something, I think. It gave a lasting impression to a lot of students who maybe view this their process of working as being, coming up with a concept, slowly developing that concept, and then at the end have an outcome. And we really flipped this around and said, okay, day one, here are your tools. Here's some bamboo. Here's some stuff. Let's start making. And they make work, and it created a much more kind of fluid process.
Yeah, and I don't have much to add. I totally agree with what Levi and Michael said. Maybe the only thing is that there was a beautiful lightness in the highest sense of the meaning of the word in the making all the students and the workshop leader were involved with. And that created the great quality, you know, because I come, especially at the time, I was still fresh of my background in critical design mixed with interaction design, and everything always have to be very heavy and meaningful and political. And we kind of left that on the background. It was still there, but it was not the foreground of the conversation. The foreground of the conversation was experimenting with different way of making, but doing it well. I think we were all surprised by the quality of the outcome that emerged from the workshop. All the workshop leaders were very passionate. the last day was the exhibition day, so everybody was in a sort of a happy competition in showing the best out of the workshop. So everybody was really proud of showing off what happened. And it was not about creating a lot of words and posters and this and that. It was about creating objects, creating experience, and creating outcome that the audience could experience and test. And I remember that we were the first one surprised by the quality of what was generated during the workshop. So that's something that kind of still resonates with me, that with commitment and the right approach, you can create quality even in a very short amount of time. And
Yeah, I think, you know, going back to what Levi was saying about, you know, this idea of play and the emotional, there were two sides. There was sort of the individual side, which is, you know, be yourself, that, you know, the whole notion of Ajib was, you know, strange in a strange way, cool in a cool way, slightly weird in a slightly weird way. But that sense of be who you are, be your authentic self and engage with the world around you in that authenticity. But it is that engagement, and you can accomplish so much more when you work with other people, and that sort of free to be you and me, but with a goal. And yes, the results showed that people were engaged. People had that emotional attachment to what was happening, mm-hmm. and it was a payoff for everybody. Both the people who were, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning still building stuff in the classrooms, and then the people who came to see the output of all of that. And there was a real sense of value, both embedded in the objects as well as in the takeaway that people had.
Yeah, I actually remember both of those. The night before everything was going to be exhibited from the workshops, we were supposed to meet up with some of the workshop leaders and students, and they canceled on us because they were at VCU working till like 2-3 in the morning, because they really were so excited about the projects that they were working on, which was a really cool moment as well.
All right. So that's great. This is okay. So this actually, all of this ties really well into my final question, which has to do more about the contributions of the community in the journey for and the journey of making Ajib actualizing Ajib. Because all of you touched upon how it was important in the sense of like expanding, not only involving members of the VCUQ community, but also expanding upon that to include people that were not a part of that, or just other members outside of the community, and kind of bringing them in or sort of introducing them to what art and design can be about, which I think is great. And so, yeah, I think that would be my question that would be my final question, the importance of the community.
Yeah, I'll jump in and start. I think there were a few different levels of community engagement we wanted to kind of touch upon. One was, you know, at the time we felt that inside of VCU, the different disciplines did not always get together, and there wasn't a lot of sharing happening. There were, you know, there was fashion over there and graphic design over here and ID over there. And we really wanted to come up with ways that people in the school could come together and work in like this hybrid manner. So that was kind of one part of it. Another part was really bridging out more towards Richmond. Even though Richmond students had been involved in the past and past TASMEMES, we really wanted to make it be a broader opportunity to engage like faculty and students from Richmond to come here and experience Doha and stay here for like a week, right? Like what a great opportunity, because sometimes people from Richmond come and they're here for like 3 days. But this was more of like really embracing, like, let's stay here for a week and work together. And so this was kind of another aspect of it. And the last part, in my opinion, was just the Doha community in the sense of how do we reach out to, you know, get students to invite their friends and family that, you know, that are out there into here, like into VCU, and experience this. And I think this is kind of something we did on one of the last days where when they're exhibiting their work, all these friends and family started to show up that for the first time that had never really been here. And I think that this was an important part of bringing this type of community together.
Yeah, I think just real quick, I think the community was key in building, you know, not the community as they out there, but how to build community, right? How to use design to bridge some of these more disconnected groups and just create this space where the space and time, this week, space and place to bring people together and, discover similarities or just kind of leave behind the things that make them different and do something crazy together and have this moment and create something and, just have a good time. I think that was one of the goals. And I think we did that. I mean, I think in some ways we created a little community during that time. And that's one of the things that I think made it really exciting, that everybody participated and there's so much energy and makes it memorable.
Yeah. Even engaging people that aren't from the expected community. You know, we had some people that made shawarma from some local restaurants that came in. You know, we brought them in to make shawarma, and this played a different role. People from Qatar Airways came in and participated in the conference. And so it was really kind of reaching out in these odd ways. Like, how do we get people that are not your expected art folks to come in and do something creative?
One of the other things that, you know, for me was always a difficult thing, you know, in the first couple of Tasmims that I worked on, there was a sense that for some of the students, and there were actual like students who went on record saying, you know, I'm not going to go to this. And there were punishments meted out. It's like, look, if you do not attend Tasmim, you will get an X percent grade reduction. And students are like, fine, go ahead and take it. I'm not going. And I just thought, like, that's insane. Like, you've got Tom Kelly from IDO. You've got, all these incredible people coming to Doha, and you're just adamantly not going to go. And why? What was the rationale? Like, why would a student think that? And to build something that was geared around wanting them to come, not so much like, I'm going to bring this to you and you're going to like it. It was like, what would you want to do? How do we engage you? And then the other side of it that Michael was pointing out was that and it was a great thing that the Tasmim before to have the workshops at Mataf and to have that community engagement. There were things at the student center and there were things here and there were things there, which was great. But I think we focused on the idea that, like, this is our house. Like, VCU is our center, and we wanted to bring people into our place. And that sort of pride of place and pride of expression and all of that drew people in. And there was this kind of momentum and energy within the school that was a magnet that really drew bodies and interest. And it was a wonderful thing. So turning that sense of like, no, I don't want to go to, you have to be there was a really great kind of thing.
Yeah. And building upon what you're saying, Richard, is there was a lot of preparation in that extent, meaning that maybe the previous Tasmim were something that required a long preparation, but like behind the curtains, and then Tasmim happened. While we were very dedicated to involve the community before the festival itself. We started to work with the faculty and the students 1 year before the conference itself. There was this project called Tasmim in the Classroom. So we launched the theme and the students were working on the theme of the conference and they had a beautiful exhibition both here and in Richmond. In Richmond too, they were working on the theme of the conference. And it was kind of making the community, the VCU community, both here and in Richmond, feeling part of the conference itself and not the audience of the conference. So they were the conference or the festival, because that's also something that we really started to call it festival since the beginning. We wanted to move a little bit away from the idea of the academic conference that has some specific connotation that probably is not the most exciting one, especially for the students. And that helped to create this curiosity and sense of weight for the event itself. And when it was time to do it, everybody was pretty excited to see the result of this common effort.
Yeah, I think that's cool. Like there was a sense of empowerment, yeah. Like where we kind of empowered the community. So it wasn't just the four of us dictating what was happening, but everyone felt like they could be involved in some way. So I think that this was a pretty unique way. I mean, we even set up in the gallery, we set up like a Tasmim headquarters, so that this is the area where we would work downstairs in the gallery. And if anyone showed up, if any students or faculty wanted to show up, they could just stop by the headquarters and have a coffee or a tea and tell us their ideas or pin something on the wall. And in this way, we kind of just extended that community idea.
All right. This is great. I would like to thank you all for being here and doing this audio interview. I honestly had a great time, and I'm sure our listeners would also find this very interesting and fascinating to know. So, yes, thank you all so much.
Thank you. Thank you. It was really great.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's great to remember and share these memories again.
Dear audience, thank you all so much for tuning in. This audio interview series is an initiative by the gallery at VCU Arts Qatar. If you would like to know more about us and what we do, please visit our website and follow us on social media at www.vcuqgallery.com and at vcuq_gallery. You can find them linked below. Also, special thank you to Riham Mohammed for providing us with the music for this audio interview. Take care.